Welcome to the Jeff Blumenkrantz Songbook Podcast, Month Upon a Time, Episode 8. It's January, Happy New Year, and in the spirit of new beginnings, I thought it would be amazing to have my new BFF be my special guest this month. I'm excited to introduce the lovely Courtney Ballin.
Hey.
Hey, Courtney.
Hello.
You didn't hit the notes exactly
that's for sure. No. Wait, what are they?
I don't know.
Hello.
Hello. And Courtney was teasing me about my introduction. My stumbled upon trademark introduction.
Not teasing so much as in love with.
Oh.
Because let's talk about the fact that we've met, a month?
So barely, yes.
Yeah, like a month ago, month upon a time. And he told me that he did these podcasts, and I went home and listened to every one of them.
Not really.
Yes, I'm a loser.
Courtney has a fiance who does not live in town.
I have nothing else to do, folks. No. It's because I love them. And because when I walk to work every day, you know, I put my headphones on and I'm like, I listen to NPR, you know.
I do too. I love the NPR podcast.
That's all I do. I don't ever, if people are like, what do you listen? Like, what's your music that you listen to? I'm like, the theme song to All Things Considered. Like, what? I don't really have I listen to talk radio. So I was just obsessed with listening to it. And so many people I knew, which was so fun.
Yay.
Yes. Shout out to Kate Weatherhead singing the Bridesmaid song.
Oh, right?
So good.
Yeah.
I listened to that yesterday. Most recent. Yeah.
So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for asking.
Learning a new song in the middle of a very exciting period for you.
Yeah.
You've got a lot going on. Of course, we always talk about what's coming up for you after you sing the song. So let's talk about where you come from.
Okay.
Not like, I don't mean New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean like where you've, like all this cool stuff that I see. Now, I met Courtney at a Christmas party, and then I saw her again at a birthday party. And so I didn't know her professionally. I mean, I knew she was the understudy to the ladies of Title of Show.
That is true.
Which I was such a huge fan of, or I should say am such a huge fan of.
Yeah, me too.
But when I started poking around into your background,
I found
all these amazing treasures.
Police records?
No police records. I didn't buy the $20 police record on you. But you have done some cool thing. I bet you got some stories, girl.
I was thinking about that today. I was like, what's he going to ask me? Because now that I'm proficient in the podcast, I know exactly what's in store. And I thought, how many of those stories can I tell? Because I don't mean, some of them need to be kept secret, probably. I don't even know.
Well, maybe you should just guide this. I mean, okay, well, I can't resist asking about In My Life.
Well, that, of course.
Yeah, there's that. There's also, I understand you had a little crybaby incident.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. Every show, I hurt myself. Knock on wood. I'm knocking on wood, everybody. So I have a scar for everything. It's like on my trunk, and it's like all the stickers of where you travel.
Yes.
That's me. I'm like, oh, this scar is Olivia Perfect when I broke the glass in my hand. Yeah, and this knee scar is from when I walked funny and tore my ACL in Crybaby. Oh. Was I dancing? No, folks.
I was walking. You mean like you had a character walk?
Yes, and even more so after that. But yes, I did. I was looking upstage, and I had to turn around and walk up to a pool table and swing my leg up and jump onto it. And I played Hatchetface, and I used the characterization of Animal from the Muppets. I was like, she's just going to be like, and like eat everything that she sees, and like she'd shoot on like her leather gloves all the time and all this kind of gross stuff. And so everything I did, I was like, and I jumped up on the pool table, and Carly Gibson was sitting there, and we were about to do our trio with Lacey Cole, and I had the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. No, mind you, I've not had babies or anything, so but this is the worst pain that I've ever felt. And I look at Carly and I'm like, I'm hurt.
Did you say those words or did you say that with your eyes?
I said it with my mouth.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm hurt. And she's like, looks at me and goes, what? and I was like, yeah. So we then did our number. And my fiance was in the audience, and he was like, I thought something looked weird. But I was like, well, you know, maybe she's just trying something new. It's previews. No, full on just injury. I was dancing like probably more than I've ever danced ever in my life. Rob Ashford will kick some dancer butt and some actor butt too, because those of us who aren't trained really as dancer dancers will still be asked to do that amazing choreography that he does. So so I think my body was just like crying out for help. And so yeah, well, but the thing is that I was no longer able to do the show, but then I got to do title of show, because I had turned down title of show to do Crybaby, and then when I realized that I couldn't do a dance show any longer, I realized that I could do title of show, which was not a dance show, and I wouldn't have to do it 8 shows a week. So
that's a perfect recuperating
gig. I mean,
gig.
Yeah, it was tragedy, but also there was a happy ending, thank goodness.
Nice.
But I was sad not to get to open that show. It was like my first so-called, you know, role on the Broadway. So I was sad, but you know, everything happens the way it's supposed to, I guess.
Yeah. Now, like, we did sort of skip over in my life.
Okay.
You got a little something?
The thing is that it's all of my friends from In My Life, we always joke, because people think that we're going to be like, ugh, none of us feel that way. It was the most fun I have ever had.
Really?
Broadway debut, awesome friends, still, like, dear, dear friends with three of them. See them all the time. And just want, like, when you're in a show like that, I feel like the company just kind of goes and just spend like just kind of is like we're either in it or we're not, and we were in it, and we were just gonna like moan all you want, audience, we are gonna make you like us. And I know it was wacky and weird, but it was a blast and we had a great time doing it. I have nothing but love. But I will tell this interesting story. So it was my Broadway debut. And I was understudying Jessica Bovers, and she had a planned out for the second and third previews. So I was doing I Love You Perfect, Now Change, the West Side Theater, at night. I was rehearsing In My Life during the day and also learning my understudy track, knowing that I was going to leave I Love You Perfect right before tech the show, open it, or start previews, and be the lead on Broadway the second day. So my brain exploded, but it was the coolest experience. Like we were talking about this earlier that wasn't on the podcast, but like that's what I feel like that's what we live for. It's like I love all of that overwhelming stuff. It's actually so exciting for me. And so my Broadway debut, I like, you know, rode on because they swung me out for the first preview so I could watch the show. So wait, let's also talk about being in the audience for the first preview of In My Life. You know that the 90% of the audience was like there with their arms folded and their cell phones on their laps, just waiting to be like, it started. This is happening now. And I was in the audience for that. And I was like, this is a lot. But the next day I did the role, and it was just thrilling to make my Broadway debut with that company. Just thrown up there, one day of rehearsal.
And the lead.
Totally. It was a really fun story. I'll never be sorry that that's my Broadway debut story.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But it was great. It was a weird and wacky and crazy experience, but super fun.
Now, as we're talking, I'm just remembering another very interesting understudy story, one that did not come to be.
Oh, yeah.
But do you mind talking about that?
I don't.
So I'll just share that Courtney was hired to stand by for...
Well, understudy.
Understudy?
For that. That was sort of a muddy thing. We never really figured it out. I was going to be in the show.
Oh, you were?
Uh-huh. In L.A. And then in New York, we were going to reevaluate, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, Courtney was going to be in Funny Girl at the Amundsen and understudy Fanny, Lauren Ambrose, in the production that just got canceled.
Oh, hum.
Oh, well, what did you have to do to get that gig?
Oh, how long is this podcast? It wasn't even that. It was more just the like that is every, you know, quirky, weird singer Jew's favorite role. And it's, you know, so often people say, what's your dream role? And like a lot of people say, well, it hasn't been written yet, you know, and that's kind of true. But if I had to pick one that was written, it'd be Fanny. And when I heard that it was happening potentially, it was semi an obsession for me just to get an audition, because my big thing is, as an actor, all you can do is get in the room, right? You can't force them to cast you. You can't make yourself be right for something. You could just get in the room and let them decide. And especially with someone like Bart, you're like, well, I'm pretty sure I trust you to decide to make the right choice. And so I called my agent obsessively. Are they seeing people? Are they seeing? And then finally he said, seriously, you have to stop asking me. And I got the audition. And again, I was doing two projects at once. I was doing a full production and a workshop at the same time. And I got the audition during the week where the two were happening at the same time.
Oh, my Lord.
Always happens like that. But what it made me do is not stress too much. And sweet Michael Barres coached me, and mostly life coached me, in saying, either you're right or you're not. And I went in, and I went in for the role. I didn't go in for the understudy. And I got called back and called back and called back. And then it was just down to, you know, a few of us on that last day. I was sitting right there next to Lauren Ambrose, who's super adorable. And I just couldn't believe, because I kept saying, just get to the next step. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. And I just kept getting to the next step. And then I called and they were like, you're not going to get the part, but what about understudying? And I was like, I feel so many things, but yeah, mostly excited. Because, you know, of course I wanted to get the part, but that was fine. And then I got so excited about it, and, you know, and that team was going to be so incredible. Kim Grigsby and Chris Catelli and Bart Scherer. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, it's a dream. Mm. And then it never even happened. So sad, but maybe one day. We'll see. But what I did in the audition was I sang I'm the Greatest Star and did 7,000 scenes.
Really?
And that is, for me, that was so telling about what he needed in this show. Like, he didn't have me stand there and, like, belt over and over and over again every song in the show. We worked on the scenes pretty much exclusively. And then I'm the Greatest Star. And then I came back, and then my final callback, I sang The Music That Makes Me Dance, which was terrifying because that wasn't planned. He was like, how about The Music That Makes Me Dance? And I was like, he said, did we give that to you in the packet? And I said, no. And he said, well, do you know it? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, you do? And I said, I know every word of every line. This is my dream part. And he was like, well, okay, well, go ahead. So that was that. And then later that day, I got the phone call. But so it was a pretty exciting experience. And I'm sad that it's not happening, but I'm just so glad that I even had that experience. You know, I got over a lot of demons going through that experience.
Amazing.
Pretty awesome.
Well, what do you think? Are you ready to sing?
Word.
All right. Well, let me just say that I got some wonderful January ideas. And several people alluded to ideas about resolutions, but I ended up going with an idea from my college buddy, Allison Rice, and it was a one-word pitch, and the word was dieting, which I do believe is a very January phenomenon. And I just want to say for the record that this song is somewhat autobiographical.
Oh.
Aww.
For everybody. I mean,
yeah, for everybody.
Well, you can't be autobiographical for everybody, but it speaks to all of us, because I feel like everybody, skinny, tall, fat, short, anything, is like, I'm going to lose weight January 1st. I'm going to join a gym.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of universal. This is a universal song.
I agree. And I just want to say for the record that Courtney has a hot body.
I made him say that.
No,
I didn't.
That's not true. So here is Courtney Ballen singing This Will Be the Year.
January 1st, 2012. Here we go! I treat my body with respect. I eat only that which will nourish. I write in this food journal every day. There is only That is going to be my morning mantra for 2012, the official year of the new and improved me. I'm so inspired, and I'm gonna be skinny, bikini skinny, finally. I've got a plan, and I'm sticking to it. I've got a goal, and there's no giving in. I've got a mantra to help me get through it. This will be the year, this will be the year. I win, I mean lose, the weight. And I can't wait! Bye! January the 2nd, 2012. I treat my body with respect. I eat only that which will nourish. I write in this food journal every day. There is only now. I lost a pound, and all I had to do was stop eating once I felt full. Amazing! Why would I stuff my face when I could feel as light and magical and satisfied as I do right now? I love my plan, and I'm sticking to it. I've heard the call, and I'd be crazy to refuse. I know that this time I'm really gonna do it. This will be the year, this will be the year. I lose, I mean win. Win at losing, that's kind of confusing. Bye! Oh, P.S. Tomorrow it's back to work, which means passing the evil cupcake den 4+ times. Can she resist? Yes, she can. Not really, bye. January 4th, 2012. I treat my body with respect, except yesterday. I eat only that which will nourish. Except yesterday. I write in this food journal every day. Not yesterday. There is only now. And yesterday. On track. Just because I had a little slip doesn't mean it's over. This is the opposite of over. It's under. It's under control. I've got a plan, and I'm not gonna foil it. This is my chance to turn my life around. No more mistakes, 'cause I can't afford to spoil it. This will be the year, this will be the year. I lose a pound per week, starting now. Goodbye. January 9th, 2012. I treat my body with fuck it. Who am I kidding? I really blew it this week. I mean, if I had been thinking, I wouldn't have started this whole thing until after Kimmy's bachelorette party weekend, which would have made so much more sense. So, how about we just make believe that last week never happened? And say that today is like 100% the real beginning. Okay? I have this dream and I've got to achieve it. No more excuses, this really is the time. Tune out the voice that whispers, don't believe it. This will be the year. This has to be the year. please let this be the year I make the climb up the Everest of my fat. It's a fun song.
Yeah, and kind of heartbreaking too.
Yeah, it is. When I first heard it, I was listening on my earphones at a 10-minute break, and I was laughing and laughing. And then it got to the end, and I was like, oh, I'm feeling feelings.
I know. I love the way you handled all those flavors.
Oh, thanks.
Really nice. I'm so glad we met at that party, and then now I get to know you. You know, artistically.
Oh.
Not just socially.
Yes, it's awesome. I love how that works.
Yeah. So, okay, now it's time you can talk about what you have coming up very shortly.
So shortly. I am currently in rehearsals for an off-Broadway musical called Rated P for Parenthood. And this is exciting for many reasons. One is that I started at the table read at my friend Sandy Rustin's house back in August 20, I don't know, not 10 probably. What year are we in? Yeah, 2010. So only like 18 months ago. And I have never started something and then seen it go all the way to the off-Broadway or into New York. And so it's pretty exciting. And because of Funny Girl, I thought maybe I wasn't going to get to do it. So again, one of those kind of kismet.
There was something waiting for you.
Yeah, it was very... I have to say, I told all my friends that if for some reason I had missed my shot at Rated P, I would have had to been like checked into some sort of institution because I would have been so devastated to miss out on both of those opportunities. But anyway, as fate would have it, the role was still open. And it's such a blast. It's a sketch comedy. It's in the vein of I Love You, Perfect Now, Change. Lots of vignettes, some funny, some serious, some emotional. And it's about parenthood from giving birth to dropping your kids off at college and all the funny things that happen in between. And I've been telling everybody that I'm sort of the resident neurotic character. And I'm not sure if like which came first, the chicken or the egg, like if I, you know, my neuroses or their writing. But everything has now turned into a neurotic character. But I have a lot of high anxiety moments, and it's so much fun and so funny. And I can't wait to start because I've been living with this for so long. Now I just want to give it to the world. You know how it is with a comedy? After a while, you're like...
Yeah, so I can't do this in a room anymore.
I cannot do this. I've never felt less funny or secure about myself.
I know, and then you start doing all these, like, making weird choices just for the sake
just
of making them.
Right, and then you forget what you should be doing, and yes, there's a lot of second-guessing. So that's my mantra for 2012 is don't second-guess, just live in the moment. And I'm hoping that the audience receives it as well as I think they will.
Good. And this is at the West Side Arts?
West Side Theater. At 43rd and 9th.
That's such a good off-Broadway theater.
It's the best. This is my third show there. And it's the best because it feels like authentic, you know? It has, you know, the brick walls and like all of the, I don't know. It just doesn't feel clinical. There are theater, like off-Broadway theaters that I feel like look like they're a doctor's office sometimes.
Yeah.
And this one just feels like old school theater. And it's across from Little Pie Company. So, I mean, win.
Yes, the evil cupcake den.
Full circle.
It's so funny because you have this, you know, I guess Lauren Ambrose is too cute too, but you're sort of positioning yourself as like a quirky, neurotic character girl, but you just don't look like her.
Well, today maybe. I put on a fancy outfit today, but...
I guess, and I've seen you party dressed.
Yeah.
I've never seen you like down and dirty.
Let me tell you.
It's a sight. It's dirty.
Well, you know, I mean, me as me is this. And I know that people were saying, like, Lauren Ambrose, what? Yeah, she's maybe a little bit more cute than what people think Fanny Brice is, but speaking from experience of studying her like a mad woman when I was going in, she didn't look like, you know, Cyclops. I mean, she was a cute woman. She just wasn't the stereotypical Follies girl, you know? And I just think there's lots of different ways to play characters. And I just want to say that on behalf of
Lauren Ambrose
and myself.
Defending the performance she never got to give.
She was going to be brilliant. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I get that a lot of people were surprised in the casting. But I just think Bart knows what he's doing. So that's that.
Well, I hope you all get to do it again
in
another season.
I do too. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Someday I'll do it at a dinner theater in Iowa.
Let me just say how much I've enjoyed working with you this afternoon and getting to know you this past month.
Yes, it's been blissful.
And thank you so much for being my January special guest.
My pleasure.
And thanks again to Allison for the one word idea, which I really enjoyed exploring. And this is Jeff and Courtney saying bye.
Bye.